Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Janet, I see you calling me, so don't worry. Go ahead. I see what's happening here. And so what I'm doing, I'm working on it right now. So I see the board. Unfortunately, my laptop is not pulling up the board at the moment. But what I did, I went to my phone. I'm assuming you guys can hear me. Yes, you should be able to hear me right now. So what I'm trying to do is go to the board. and bring you guys on. So let me go ahead and hit and open up the mic to the one and only Janet Pollock Hawkins. See, I know how to handle this crap. You know, I had a feeling. Seriously, now hold on a minute before you interject. I had a feeling, even though I scheduled the show yesterday, that something is going to freaking happen that I'm not going to be ready for. I just had that feeling. I said, Michael, get ready for it. It's coming because of some shit, which I'm not going to really get into. But I just had that feeling because I think when you guys heard the first track that played, it's like I didn't have that there, but it was there. You know, so all of a sudden, you know, I go to, because I have two laptops. So I went to the newer one, which I've been using more so than the older one. Now, the older one has a lot more stuff on it, right, that I can go to whenever I want to do certain clips and this and that. But for some reason, the newer one locked up. Then I'm like, okay, let me use my phone. And then it was an issue with the phone. So, but, you know, hey. As they say, shit rolls down.
Well,
so, but,
well, you explained it because I called you. As soon as I clicked back over, you were saying Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. I was like, now.
Yeah, I saw you calling, and I was like, don't worry, I'm on. You know, I'm not. You know, as my man says, you know, in the song, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I'm gonna keep on doing what I gotta do. Yeah, because I just have a feeling something crazy is gonna happen today. Michael, get ready for it. And thank God, you know, it came through. But happy Saturday to you, my sister. How you doing today? Crazy weather,
I'm
huh?
I'm doing okay. Yes, very. I'm doing okay.
Yeah, for you.
Got a problem with the gout, but other than that, I'm hanging in there.
Well, I'm, you know, get through it. You definitely will. You know, I mean, of course, we have topics we're going to talk about. You put it and put it out there for everyone to take a look at what we're going to discuss. We're going to throw in a few other things that are not in the itinerary. But quickly, I want to say, Georgia, I've been here for years, but my God, how do you go from 40 degrees to 70 overnight? I don't get it. You know, last night was like 40 degrees. It's almost 70 out there now. What's going on? I've never known temperature change to be so rapid in less than a 24-hour period since I've lived here now. I know that, you know, it gradually goes, but wow. Did you notice that, how cold it was last night? And now it's out there, it's almost like spring.
Yesterday, some of my plants were budding, and I was like, oh, my God, it's too early. And then the temperature dropped, and it was real cold, frosty outside, you know. I don't know what the bushes are going to look like, because you can't keep going all the way down and then back up again, you know. With the temperature.
Well, true, but what I'm saying is that where, for you guys that are listening, in fact, I'm trying to get the laptop to come up right. I don't know why it's not doing what I wanted to do, but I'm going to, this is not normal, but okay, I see what I have to do. But see, here's the thing that gets me, is that where, you know, when you think about, people always say, you know, when the temperature changes from hot to cold, that's when you get sick. Now go back to what your plants. Plants get sick too, right? So if it keeps changing, you know, I work for a Home Depot and Lowe's. When it started having that overnight frost, they would have the people in the garden area put these big blankets over all, you know, certain plants so they wouldn't freeze, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they had to do that the other night, and now they got to take it off and let the plants get the sunlight and this, that, and the other. And when they say, "Oh, there's no such thing as global warming," something's going on. because
I've experienced
in the years, I'm from California, and then, you know, in the years I've been here in Georgia, I know that the seasons change accordingly, at least when I first came here. But now it's like, hell, one day it's 70-something, all of a sudden it's 40 the next day. And it's like, wait a minute. How did it change so rapidly? I've never experienced that. Right. One day you in shorts,
look,
the next day you in a denim. Go ahead.
I'm originally from upstate New York, where it's real cold and you get more winter months than anything. So, but I know I'm climatized right now because I'm down. I've been down here for 30 years, over 30 years, you know, but just to see the weather going from freezing to warm back to freezing, that's something is not right.
Something's off balance. Something is truly off balance, you know, and there's people who say, oh, no, that's normal. No, it ain't. And I even see, like, look at California, the floods that they had there just recently. I'm from California. I know what California weather is like. Not like what they just had recently, all those floods. Yeah, they've had rains, landslides, stuff like that. I'm sorry, mudslides. But this is getting really, you know, those type of things will happen, you know, so many years or such and such. But now it's becoming a norm. That should be kind of scary,
correct,
I think, for anything.
It truly is.
All right, so I was trying to change something as I was trying to get the board to come up on my laptop. So I'm broadcasting from my phone, you guys, by the way. So let's get into some of the things that have been going on this week. We did share some things as far as hot topics, but I want to go ahead and get this one up front about the passing of a movie actress, television, this, that, the other. But I ain't going to lie. I fell in love with Raquel Welch back when I was in elementary school. Everybody got, I mean, you got quiet there, huh, Jen?
No, I'm laughing.
Because I'm going to tell you how. If you guys remember, okay, so first of all, I want to say, Raquel Welch passed at the age of 82 years old. Some said, that's pretty young. That's pretty interesting that they said young, but yeah, when you look at some celebrities that's been in the entertainment industry as long as she has, some of them do live up until their late 80s or, you know, 90s. But yeah, she passed. Say this. I remember 1 million years B.C. and that leather, whatever, tiger, whatever suit she had on, or bathing suit, whatever you want to call it. I kind of wondered, did they really dress like that back then? You know, I mean, the videos I see is where they have like these long robes, but it's a movie, right? So they have to show, you know, the legs and the bosoms and everything. But that's where folks remember her from. And she really didn't have no speaking role. She just, you know, and the pterodactyls would come down. Anyway, but where I really enjoyed her, or I first really got as a kid now, is a movie she did back in 1972 called Kansas City Bomber. And she played a roller skater. You remember the roller derby? The fake-ass roller derby that used to come on TV? The Thunderbirds,
yes,
and the Detroit whatever Devils or whatever. You remember that, huh?
Uh-huh.
She played a role. And during that era, it was popular. Roller derby was a very popular. It was kind of like wrestling on skates. That's pretty much what it was. And she did the movie, and I saw it when I was like, as I said, like I was in going into junior high. My stepmom took me to see it and everything. And I was like, and I had a crush on her. All right, so. And I didn't realize she played in so many movies over the years, but let me open up another mic. Got to open up the mic. Since I mentioned the West Coast, we're going to bring the West Coast here, and that would be Mr. Timon. Mike, you're starting some shit now, Mike. Shit!
How are you, Mike? I'm just getting out of my car. How are you, Janet?
I'm doing okay.
Hang
on,
man. I'm getting my stuff together here because I'm coming from Hollywood, and I'm trying to gather up my crap here. How you guys doing? Now, Mike,
you're doing fine. You're
like
from Hollywood.
What's that?
So I said you were coming from Hollywood, you said.
Yeah, I was coming from Hollywood, and I just got home. So I'm getting out of my car and gathering my things, you know. I was trying not to. Well, y'all have all that background noise and stuff. But usually I'm in between doing things and, you know, going through.
Right, right.
And you're talking about your girl, Raquel.
Yeah. No, Betty, it's Joe Raquel Welch. I didn't know her first name really was Joe.
You know, Mike, they wasn't really trying to find out what her name was. They were just looking at her body. Ain't nobody ever even mentioned, you know, did you check out what her first name was? No. I just want to look at her body.
No, the boobs.
Here's the thing, though. Right. It would not have really brought, you know, attention for her to have a what is considered a man's name, Joe. See, there's a lot of women, not a lot, but there's some who do have, like, Josephine, Joelle, you know, Joe is, you know, but really her first name, which I did not realize it until I started looking, was J-O, Joe Raquel Welch.
Well, back then they changed their names. Old Hollywood was into changing names if they thought that if your name was too Jewish or if it just didn't fit where they feel they could sell you, so they would change your names back then. Yeah, so they probably felt that Joe Raquel didn't work, you know. And also, if you were Jewish, you know, Michael Douglas is Jewish. They changed his name. That's not his name either.
It doesn't. No, go ahead.
That's not their name.
What was his real last name, you know?
I don't know. Him and Kirk Douglas changed their name. They were Jewish. So was the Marx Brothers, Charlie Chaplin. A lot of those guys, because of the, you know, how people felt about Jews back then, they had to change their names.
In fact, I know you're right because I think I saw something about that where they did that on purpose. Janet, your thoughts on – because I want to kind of like touch on a few of these things before we get to our main topics. You remember Raquel Welch. What is the one thing you remember about her as far as in movies and everything? Because, you know, she played in the Three Musketeers, the Four Musketeers, the, you know, 1 Million Years BC, of course, the movie that I have mentioned. And she was, you know, she was the bombshell back then, right? In the 70s.
Right. Basically, the same movies that you mentioned, Michael, is what I also remembered about Raquel Welch. You know, if I didn't know anything else, I remember the big boobs.
She was the big boob girl, right? Okay. Now, it was so funny. I was talking to a friend of mine, and there was two individuals that were known as the big boobs back in the 70s, and it was Raquel Welch and Pam Grier.
James Mansfield.
Huh?
Also, James Mansfield.
Jane Mansfield.
Those were the two I remember. Raquel Welch and James Mansfield.
Mm-hmm. I remember. I definitely remember Pam Grier. Come on now. Pam Grier, you got to remember Pam. Every scene, Pam had her shirt tied up and her boots sticking out. Okay? Almost every scene. That was her outfit in almost every movie. And much respect to Pam. She's doing great. Still alive, thank God. Got a horse ranch and everything. She's doing great. Do you guys recall her ever being married? Because from what I'm saying, she's not married. She's single. That's kind of amazing to me. She might have been married before, but right now, from what I'm saying, she's single.
Who is that, Pam Grier?
Mm-hmm.
Pam Grier dated Richard Pryor.
Say that again?
But she dated Richard Pryor for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I don't think they were ever married.
Yeah. But now she's single from what I understand. She, you know, I did see some videos of her. She's got a ranch. She's got her horses. She's in love with her horses, her home, and everything.
Yeah, she didn't put on a lot of weight, too.
Go ahead.
She didn't put on a lot of weight, too. Yeah, she
done got thicker than thick. Yeah, right. Okay, thicker than thick. True. All right, so
Raquel West put a lot of weight on too.
Right. Our condolences to the family of the legendary Miss Raquel Welch. Like I said, when I was a kid, I had a crush on her when I saw that movie. Maybe it was the boobs. I don't know. It might not have been the acting. I was a kid, okay, you guys? Don't get mad at me. I was a kid. You know, so. And they always made sure that every button was unbuttoned in her uniform, you know. So anyway, so Janet, who else was it that we were going to talk about that just recently passed? Who was it that we said?
Did we say?
I thought you and I had said there was someone else that we wanted to
I said I was going to check because I thought it was, but it was somebody who had died earlier. Yeah, it wasn't someone who just recently passed.
Well, we talked about Burt Bacharach. We know about that. And that's a sad thing, too, of Burt passing. I guess that's it. I can't think of anyone else. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to bring up the board on my laptop while I'm trying to talk to you on the phone. Running the show on the phone is not easy. Trust me, it's not, because I got to keep swiping up and swiping down. It is not easy at all. Okay, the board just came up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so now I can see everything. All right, so let's get to our topics. In politics, Janet, what do we got going on? Oh, by the way, we got some people in the chat room. Bring Your Boy says, hello, Mr. Michael Gay. Hey, Bring Your Boy, how you doing? This is my free will to listen to your show. Okay, so that's a joke because I was tuned into – you know, I still support other shows. I still listen to their conversations. That's my free will, right? And though they go underneath the name of Bring Your Boy, this individual was on the show not long ago on the Jay King Network, which I do support some of the shows. And it was an interesting conversation about free will. We might get in that conversation later on down the road, but thank you, Bring It Boy, for chiming in. that's funny. Okay, so politics. Janet, what's going on in the political field? Let's get into that first, and then we're going to get into our other topics for the day. What's happening this week? What has changed?
Well, one of the things was DeSantis and his anti-woke rhetoric. Black leaders are going to be going after him, and he's going to be sued by three students because he doesn't want to do black have Black History taught in classes. Period.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't. I saw the marching and everything in Florida this week because of DeSantis and his things that he's been trying to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing that we wanted to talk about was why people hate, the science behind,
right.
behind
well,
why
I'm gonna
love the
well,
hate.
I want to go down the list. No, I definitely want to talk about that. But let's go down to this whole thing because it is Black History Month, right?
Yeah.
The shortest month of the year. Some folks are like, why they pick the shortest month of the year to talk about Black folks? Okay, well, you know, it's Black History Month. And if you think about it, it's in the area or in the time frame of Martin Luther King's birthday, right? The holidays, the major ones. Are New Year's and Christmas. So you're talking about December, January, and then you go into February. There are so many holidays. And I took a look at, I mean, there's President's Day, there's Teacher's Day, there's, and they call them holidays, but your ass ain't getting off work for every one of them. Stores ain't going to shut down, but it's in recognition of these individuals, right? But who really pays attention? Who really
a lot of stores pay, though. I mean, I don't know about stores, but a lot of companies do pay for those holidays. You know, you have to work, but you do get paid. They lump them all together, like around Christmas and stuff.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Walmart, though. Trust me. Walmart, though. I know that for a fact. There's no holiday pay. Okay. Simon, what's your thoughts about all these holidays, though?
My thoughts on what?
On all these holidays. I don't want to get off track because we're going to get back to the sense it was brought up. All these holidays and everything, what's your thoughts about all these holidays that we have? And they're just what? In your mind, was it just an honorable mention?
Yeah, I mean, it's just an honorable mention of what, you know, some people celebrate them, some don't. Some do, like banks will be closed, you know, and some folks recognize them, some don't. Some don't believe they need to be recognized.
Now, I have a question. Why are the banks closed? Why is the one thing that you need to have access to is money? Shut down on these days, you know. I mean, certain federal or you know, certain things do shut down. I get that. But why are the banks closed on these holidays, but other businesses are not?
Hey, just they're choosing because, you know,
doesn't
certain credit unions, you know, but grocery stores and things like that, even on a federal holiday, don't close. I mean, grocery stores are even open on Thanksgiving and Christmas because people need. We're a 24/7 society. We are a consumer-driven society. So everything is based on money and based on people, you know, buying things and keeping the economy moving. You know, I mean, stores are going to be open. They use them as sales, the Martin Luther King sale, President's Day sale. This sale, that sale, all to do what? To keep you buying, to keep the money going. There's, you know, that's like they say, there is no money in banks. There's none of money in there. You can go in there.
Well,
say,
now,
I need $10,000. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't. They're not gonna give you $10,000 cash. You know, they might give you a check, but they ain't gonna give you cash like they used to.
Now, what I have to say is this, what I do know, the biggest retail chain in America used to open up on Thanksgiving. They were closed on Christmas. That's Walmart. They used to open up on Thanksgiving, that pre-Black Friday sale. They would open up later on that night, right? because Thanksgiving
right.
always falls on Thursday. They don't do that anymore, okay? They don't. Ever since the pandemic has really changed a lot of things, right? And then I'm going to add something later on. So they don't do that. I remember, Janet, you know Kroger. Kroger used to be open on Christmas. They don't anymore. And let's look at the fact that companies now are begging people to come to work. They're offering more money. Walmart just recently said, starting, I think it's $14, $15 an hour, starting coming through the door, that's what you would get. Before the pandemic, what were these stores paying? $8 and $9 an hour. That's what's starting. Now, all of a sudden, they can almost double it. How come they didn't do it before the pandemic? They had the money, and the cost of living is going up. The prices of product is going up. You know, so I'm kind of, I mean, that's just my question is, you could have done that years ago. You could have went up and paid folks more. Minimum wage in Georgia is still at the $7 to $8 mark.
Yep.
Who the hell can work 40 hours a week with overtime, let's say 50 hours a week, and afford an apartment, rent, lights, gas, car note, this and the other? You can't.
Nope.
But, Michael, did Walmart pay everybody coming in the door the $8, or was it just for certain things?
Say it again. I'm sorry. Did Walmart do what?
I said, did they pay everybody that came in the door to be hired $8 and something, or it was just for, you know, certain people?
Well, okay. So
they didn't pay everybody the same, right?
So if you go back in time, before the pandemic, I'm not going to say it was eight, but it definitely wasn't, you know, double digits. Starting off as a cashier, you were in the single digits, right? But after the pandemic, okay, in fact, I was reading an article where stores like Costco and even Amazon, if you work for them, okay, you know, you're going to be at that $14, $15 range starting out, right? But just recently, Walmart said they're going to bring up the pay scale for anyone coming in the door. You're not going to come in at $9, $10 an hour. You're going to come in at a minimum of $14. Now, if you've been working for the company for a certain amount of time, you know, so many years, you will get to what they call, or they will give you what is called a regular raise. One employee told me, I got a dollar more. I said, I got 50-something cents to get you to a certain point, you know. So, like, even for myself, I mean, they want to get you to that $14 or above mark coming in the door. So everybody coming in the door will make minimum $14 a month. I'm sorry, an hour. But then you look at people who've been there for 4 or 5 years at 12 something, you know, because they're because they look at where you work at in a store. People always ask me, well, what's the starting rate? There's no such thing as a starting rate. It depends on what department you're in with these companies. What's your experience? You get paid according to the department, your experience, and then that's what you get. Everybody doesn't make the same amount of money across the board throughout the whole store. If you are going to be hired in a certain department, you have to have so much experience, and you have to take an assessment test and everything. They do all that crap before they even consider you being there. You can apply for it, but you've got to go through, you know, hoops. And this
so that means,
determines.
So this that means Walmart didn't pay everybody $8 coming in the door.
No, I'm saying is this. It's not about $8. I'm saying right now, they are saying coming in the door, their minimum wage will be $14. It's not $8 anymore. Okay, it's not $10. It's not $12. It's $8. It's $14 coming in the door. They want to bring, because here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep employees. They're trying to keep employees. People are quitting jobs. These young kids go on there, and if they're not happy with it, they're like, screw this. You schedule them on the day they want to go out and party? The hell no. If you don't show up to work, you get what they call points, and then they'll fire you because you didn't show up 6, 7, 8 times. And these young kids are like, okay, cool. And they move on and apply for another job. That's where we are right now. I see individuals come into the store and do orientation, and some of them I never see again. Because they just quit. They don't want to work. Some of them just don't want to work.
You got to remember, salaries have been stagnating since 1971. Okay.
Correct.
We used to be a 40% production country. Then we sent everything, you know, after World War II, we were, you know, doing all the production. Then we went and they wanted to make us consumers. So, because they didn't care about the worker anymore, they started caring about shareholders. And Walmart is one of the main people. One of the main companies who really care about their shareholders. They don't care about the American worker. They talk about immigration. Oh, the immigrant, blah, blah, blah. Well, that job is $16 an hour to pick berries. If an American did that job, you'd have to pay them at least $35 an hour to pick berries. And you'd have to give them benefits. They'd have to get good, you know, like good medical. They'd have to be able to, you know, you'd have to provide them with everything. And that's what they wanted to stop. And we have, but yet everybody complains about immigrants and everything. Everything is going up because you got, you know, people get mad at Republicans, but we do have a corporate Democrat that you have to worry about also. Because the corporate Democrat is about the money. They don't mind making sure that everybody's got all the things that they need, like, you know, medical and all that, cheaper, because that's provided through corporations that provide for them. Mm-hmm. They're not progressive. They're not a Bernie Sanders or whatever, you know. And we're trying to say, well, we don't want to be a socialist country just giving away everything. But they don't want to be anything. One, they don't want to pay taxes. And two, they don't want to be socialist. But they've never wanted, since the Gilded Age, they've never wanted to pay the American worker. You tricked us when you privatized every damn thing, thinking that everybody's going to get rich and want to own their own business and all that shit. Everybody's not
and
like that.
And invest into the privatization of it, right?
So now you want to go back to vocational training.
When you say privatized, when you say privatized, which I wanted to touch on that, I'm glad that you used that word, is that when...
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You privatized, they privatized what we were already doing, okay? You privatized the DMV, getting your driver's license when you used to get it in high school. You privatized... Mm-hmm. Kids going to school, getting vocational classes. Now you're trying to bring it back because you found out that everybody didn't want to go to college. You put a value on college. College costs more now, okay? You jacked the price. Not paying the teachers, mind you. Not paying them more money. You paid more money in the corporate making. So you're making these colleges look like, I don't know if you remember L.A. Valley College that's out here. L.A. Valley College now looks like a 4-year university. Even though it's a 2-year school, it will cost you like a 4-year school. You did that, and you did all of this, and now you got this. You didn't know what the internet's doing. So what does the average kid want to be today? A YouTube star. You got, like you just said, the kids are walking off the job. They're walking off the job because they don't see any hope. We also have it's good you brought that up, because they just put out how high the suicide rate is among a young girl today, a young woman today. They feel hopeless. They don't know what to do with their lives. We got all this about people wanting to be stars and all this narcissism that's going on. The people are just committing suicide left and right, man, and they can't keep it up.
So hold tight a minute. I have to open up another mic because, you know, when I have a problem with my network, and by the way, Bring It Boy said I forgot President Day this month and mic drop caller. Okay, well, Bring It Boy, you're welcome to come on the show live. You know the number. And by the way, for anyone who's listening on the internet, you can call in. If you have any questions or comments, please call 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. If you don't want to talk live on the show, that's okay. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. It just takes a second for you to sign up, and you can join the chat room like Bring It Boy does in most situations. Got to open up this mic because, see, I feel like I need security right now. I feel like I need an officer here. So let me open the mic to Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw.
What's up, Jeffrey? Hey, what's up, Mike, Janet, Timon? Bring It Boy! What's going on?
What's going on there, Crenshaw?
I'm hanging in there. I'm thumping around. I was in an accident and gotta get my truck fixed. Yeah, I mean, hell, no blood, no foul. That's how I look at it. I'm not one of these people to run around and sue everybody.
Hold on. You damaged the Blue Knight?
Yes.
Your truck?
Yes.
The Blue Knight?
Yep. The Blue Knight got damaged.
For y'all that just don't know, he has a beautiful truck. Seriously. He's got all those bumper guard type stuff on there, you know what I'm saying? Beautiful truck, the cages and everything on it. But, man, okay, so let's have a moment of silence for the Blue Knight. Okay, we're done.
It's not
go
bad.
Ahead.
Well, the ass in is gone, but they're going to fix it, and I'll get it back. They didn't total it, so that's good. But, Mike,
right.
I'm not going to stay that long. I'm just kind of popping in listening, but Emmanuel told me to tell you to come back.
Emmanuel told me to come back?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, the load?
Yes.
Oh, well, they better pay me like $55, $75 an hour. Okay, I'll call him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway, that won't happen. But go ahead. What's your comment on what we're talking about, Emmanuel?
Yeah, well, Timon's exactly right. Once they privatized everything, it screwed our society. It really did, because they thought they were going to be able to save some money. It's just like they're doing most pension plans for corporations going to 401s now. Even the police department is on the 401. So you're going to work 25, 30, 35 years, economy crashes, and you don't get shit. You don't have a shooting arcade on your hands.
Yeah, that's right. I've been there. 401k goes.
Wow.
If you don't hurry up and switch to something safe, your money will go completely down.
Yeah, and they're not matching like they were with the pension. Like with my pension, it was 6-1. And then right before I retired, they switched it over to, I think, 3-1, and then got rid of the pension for the officers that couldn't be grandfathered in and put them on a 401.
So wait a minute. Right. So I have to ask this question. If I look back to when, you remember Enron, right? That whole Ponzi scheme and all that stuff that went on. Okay, it screwed up a bunch of folks 401, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So companies or stores and everything offer 401k. They do offer a lot of other things. So you're saying basically steer away from that or cash out on it and put it into something else?
You have to have a high risk.
You got to have 401k, but you don't have to do a high risk. You can put your money into something more safe that's more like the government bonds and things like that.
That was my question. Is that where there's people who feel like 401k is the best thing to do, but the things that where what you're saying is that don't invest all that into 401k because it is vulnerable, basically.
In most companies, you don't have a choice. They're pulling money out of your check and putting it into that 401. They're matching it one or two, you know, depending on who you work for, and it has to build up a certain amount.
You could do 2%. You could do the percentage gain. You can put in as low as – actually, I do know how it works in a sense. You can go from 2% up into not quite 50%. They won't go beyond that. My question is this. Excuse me. Hold on. Let me finish. My question is that are you saying – should a person that is investing everything into 401k consider investing into something else out of their paycheck other than 401k? Is that what
if
you're saying?
I'm retiring right now. I'm getting ready to retire in March 31st, right? So I get 100% medical because I work past 25 years. I have a pension, but I have a tax-deferred 457, which is similar to a 401k. They match me four. Okay? So, you'll get paid once a month on your regular pension, and you'll get paid twice a month with your 457, depending on how you set it up. Now, your question was, can you put it? Most people who are in 401ks or whatever, they diversify. You don't put it all your money in just one thing. You find financial planner, and they will, and you sit down with somebody, and they say, okay, how much risk do you want to take? So some people stay moderate. They go right down the middle, and they say, so you're a little bit of risk, but not too much risk. You know, and you just have to ride the wave because it's going to go up, it's going to go down, it's going to go up, it's going to go down. Now, there are people in my job who did not pay into pension. They were in a plan called Plan E. Now, they gave them all their checks. If those people did not put that money in something like a 401k or any type of stock, they can cancel Christmas when it comes time to retire. Because they ain't putting nothing in nothing. Because you're going to be left to, you'll get a little bit of money, and then you'll be left to Social Security. Other than that, you ain't getting that. So one thing for sure, you get good medical. It ain't going to be, it might not be as great as you want, but you will have 100% medical. And you will have, depending on, and you're going to have to budget your money. Now, I'm getting, say, 68% of my pension. And I'm leaving at 58%. But I also bought 5 years, and I bought that through my tax deferred 457. Okay, got a sister told me one day we were at church, said, "Shep, before you go, make sure you pay and buy you 5 years to add on to what you already gonna have, and that'll help you out financially." And she wasn't lying; it will help you. But a lot of people don't, especially minorities. They don't. They want their money. They don't know. They want their money. And a lot of them get played. And at the end of the year, they ain't got nothing to show for it. You know?
Yeah.
So you gotta do it. It ain't much, but it's better than that way. When you do turn 65, 67, you get your Social Security, you can add that along with what you already get. Because working in probation, we didn't pay into Social Security, although I worked from 16 up to 20 to 24. So I got some money out there from Social Security, but right now it'll just be my pension and everything.
Well, okay. I had 401k pension and Social Security, and
there
so
you go.
And it did help. I don't have to work, you know, and I'm comfortable. But my pension did get took the hit when the economy tanked in 2007. And I'd only worked a couple of years after that because I retired in 2009. And it kind of, you know, I didn't recoup all the money that I lost, but I did recoup some. But thank God for pension.
Let me ask you guys a question. Unfortunately, there was something that happened here with the board, and so, you guys can't see it. Janet, she logged in to the board. She would see it, but I'm going to correct that. So if I were to take, let's say, 2% of my income and or even 1 and go into, as we say, you know, go into that, what's the percentage that you would say would be wise for someone to invest into something other than 401k? Because as I said, There was that whole thing with Enron and everything, and all those people lost all their 401k money. All of them did. You remember that?
But everybody wasn't in Enron, Ron.
I'm just giving an example. Thousands of people lost thousands of dollars. So in order to be conscious of where some things can go awry, right? What would you recommend, okay, as Tymon just shared, what you know, he deals with? Because, but Tymon works for a different thing. He works for the state. Am I right, Tymon?
The county.
Okay, the county. So he's not a regular guy. He works for the county. The county is different than a person that works every day. The county does have certain benefits and certain perks than a person that works at a regular everyday business, right? So if you work at an everyday business, what would you recommend a person that works at a Walmart or Walgreens and everything, how to invest into maybe a 401k or something else outside of that? You understand my question? I'm sure you do. Hello.
It depends on, like, your job. Like, with the city, you couldn't touch your 401 until you had had it 5 years. Then you could pull money off of it, but you had to have specific reasons to pull money off of it. Once you
right.
pull that money off, like Tymon said, go and put it in a 457.
That's a question, right. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed that part. He said put it into a 457. So,
right.
And a 457, what's the benefit of it again?
To where it's kind of
similar to the 401k. But the thing is, where I work, you were in management or administration, you could put, they had a 401k. The people who are line staff, unless they did an outside 401k, if you got something through our retirement plan, if they offered the 457, they really didn't offer a 401k to regular staff. So that's why I ended up in it. But it's similar. It's taxed. It's not, your money's not taxed until you take it out. So, you know, they don't tax your money. You take money out. They only tax it when you take it out. They're not taxing it going in. So if you got a loan, you know, basically you're paying yourself back, but you're still paying into it.
Right.
Some people would use their, some people would take that loan to help go buy a house or something.
Right.
Now,
and
nowadays,
you don't pay
you
back on hardship.
Yeah.
If it's a hardship, you don't pay back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And see, after COVID hit, if people had a 457, that would have been perfect for them. They could have pulled X amount of dollars out, wouldn't have had to be penalized on trying to pay it back, and their annuities
right.
would still be growing.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you know, that's another discussion. A lot of people at my job did not, you know, they retired. They didn't have the 457. They didn't have, they weren't in the right plan. And so if they were in the plan, you had, some of them have to stay all the way to 65 or all the way to 67 because they need that money. Because they didn't
mm-hmm.
pay in.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them didn't believe in it. But then again, that's it's mostly a lot of minorities, Hispanics and blacks, who didn't do it. And one, as a matter of fact, one brother was mad at me. Well, I didn't want to say he was mad, but he just said, "Hey, shit, man, how you retired before me, man? I know I got more time than you." I said, "Well, one, bro, I didn't know retirement was a competition. But if you need to know, I told him, hey, you know, I bought 5 years, and I already went and talked to, you know, our retirement people, and I see that probation is getting out of control, and I'm moving up in age. Ain't no need of me getting there, going there and hitting that concrete again with these fools that y'all allowing to do. I'm checking out." And he was, when I asked him what plan he was in, I told him, "Well, that's why you still where you are." And I said, "Are you in the 457? No, he didn't do that either. You know, he was more busy. Because back in the day, we was making so much OT, and the money was flowing. You know, they was too busy flossing, too busy standing, buying new rides, trying to pull the women, competing against each other, chasing tail, and going to all the parties and trying to outdo each other. You buy a Mustang, I'm going to get a Porsche. You got a Mercedes, I'm going to get me a... Maserati, you know, all this old stuff. Well, all that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Them days mm-hmm. are gone. And now it's come time for you to leave, okay? And a lot of them cats got bad hips, bad backs, you know, health ain't good, did all that partying, drinking, and they finna walk away from something. They was there for over 30 years, and they got barely enough to make it. And it's not
okay.
because the situation wasn't
and that,
there.
And that's true. That's true. So the thing is that I'm sorry, you guys. I have to move forward to other topics
okay.
because we do have that. And this is a great conversation. We need to come back to it again. We all talked about Dr. Welch and everything, and we really didn't get to the gist of the conversation for the show. But that's what I love. That we do have a way of getting into certain things. Okay, so face of DeSantis anti woke rhetoric, black leaders go back to 60s. Okay, so what we're talking about is the governor of Florida, DeSantis. He's anti woke. He has his anti woke rhetoric. Janet, what did DeSantis do in Florida? Because you keep on it. What, he's saying that where there shouldn't be no black history in schools anymore or something?
He doesn't want somebody, he don't want black history to be taught in the schools because it might make some of the students feel bad.
Well,
okay, being the white students. Hold on, please. All due respect.
I just want to add to what she's saying because that's not all the way what they're going after. They're trying to say
okay, but
queer.
I'm gonna let you do that. I'm gonna let you do that. But let me just respond to what she said to me, and then I'm gonna let you say what you have to say. Okay. So, Janet, so what you're telling me is that where he doesn't want anything said in what, elementary schools, junior high schools, okay? I mean, explain it a little bit further.
No, I didn't say just elementary schools.
I'm asking. Yeah.
Michael, did you read the article?
Yeah, I read it. I'm asking you, what do you think? That, I mean, okay, so when you read it, I read it. Is, in your opinion, is he saying for all schools or just elementary schools? I know what they're trying to do, but I'm just asking.
Hold on.
I'm asking Janet to finish her comment, and then I will let everybody else respond, please.
Simon can add his if you want to.
Okay, so Simon,
what I was going to say, they're focusing on certain things within the AP course. They're focusing on Black Lives Matter. They don't want you talking about queerness. Okay, that's where he went. He went and nitpicked. He picked certain things in there. And then he tried to say, oh, well, this right here doesn't need to be told, because he thinks there's a political thing behind that. That whole thing about black women, he don't want you talking about that. That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you can have black history as long as we can go in and nitpick and tell you what you can talk about, because they don't feel it's important. But the thing, what they don't understand, that any part of black history, which is American history, is going to go down that rabbit hole that you don't want to go into, because it's got you've got to answer for it, because there's a thing connected to it, whether it's economics, you know, Black Wall Street, where you want to go. You still don't get kicked in your ass because you got to answer for all that was done. Hell, where you want to start at? You want to start at the end of Reconstruction or the beginning of Reconstruction? You want to start in the 1900s? You don't want to go there, because if you go 1900 to 1960, holy moly, you really going to open up a whole can of worms. So I don't know where he's trying to run to. All of black history, okay, you cannot run from all the crap, okay? If you'd have told the truth from the beginning, you wouldn't be here, but you lied.
Okay, here's the thing. I appreciate that. And Janet, I'm going to let you respond. I'm going to let everybody respond. But I want to play an audio clip, and I want you guys to think about it when you listen to it, okay? And when you give your response, I just want to hear your response. Now, this was a video that was on, I think it was on 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace. This is what a major movie star said. I want you to listen to it. You probably heard it. But this is Morgan Freeman. Check what he said.
Black History Month, you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well, come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish. Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
All right. I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism? Until...
Stop talking about it.
One more time, you guys. Check this
Black
out.
History Month, you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well, come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish. Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
All right. I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism on
stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. You know.
Okay, so I want to go before everybody jumps. I mean, you've heard it. I played it twice. That is a clip that was many years ago, but it is very much something that you have to look at, because I look at it where he does make a good point in two ways. So I'm going to go around the board, and I want everybody to give their – I want to give everybody their opportunity to respond to what you thought with Morgan Freeman, okay, the legendary Academy Award-winning, you know, actor said. Janet, do you want to go first? Otherwise, I'll let everybody else speak. What's your thoughts?
You can let them
the
go first.
Huh?
Let someone else go first.
Okay.
Because
okay, cool. That's
what I'm going to talk about more than
three. I'm going to go to Officer Crenshaw, and I'm going to get Simon Shipp in, because I know Simon has something to say. But Officer Crenshaw, I want to go to you first. What do you think about it, what he just said?
I agree with him. The problem is we have asked for where we are right now. We have asked for it. We have had labels put on us, have had labels put on our heritage. You know, I agree with you. You know, it shouldn't be 1 month that's Black History Month. It's not one month American History Month. It's the whole damn year. You know, the problem is we've asked for all of this. Well, we want a Black History Month to celebrate Black history. Let's do it all year long.
Good point. I like that.
Let's do it all
I
year
like
long.
That.
I agree with it.
Right.
We asked for this.
It shouldn't be.
We asked not to be called Negro. We asked not to be called Black, but call us African American. You know, we asked for all of this, trying to find an identity to ourselves that we already had as Americans. I wasn't born in Africa. We asked for this. And now we're having to fight back.
Right. We asked to be recognized as Black
Americans.
Right.
We asked to be recognized, but at the same time, we allowed ourselves to be labeled.
Okay. So let me go to Timon. Timon, what's your thoughts on that? What you just heard from Morgan Freeman, what's your thoughts? You know, you agree with what he said or disagree? Go ahead and share what you have to say.
On one hand, he's right. But on the other hand, we didn't even create any type of racial anything. They did. We didn't make up no. Mike, white and black didn't come in until 1661.
Who is when you say they, I just want you to clarify.
White folks,
when you say,
white folks,
okay,
white folks.
Let's say it. Let's say it. Okay, white
okay,
folks.
Okay, I didn't think I had to clarify, but white folks.
I just want to make sure that folks know
people,
who you were putting the finger at. But go ahead.
Well, I hope they ain't that damn dumb. But we didn't create any of this. We didn't create racism. We have been fighting and doing exactly what they asked us to do for years. And every time they burned our shit down, they burned it down. We knew how to make money in the 40s. We got millionaires everywhere, but they wouldn't accept it. We wanted our own. Then you burn it down. Everything was over economic jealousy. We went to World War I, II. They still lynched us in our own uniform. That people fought for this country.
True.
and all the wars. We built this country, and you still wouldn't accept. So guess what? We wanted to have a history because you didn't want to put it in American history. You said it didn't exist. You said we were happy slaves. We weren't happy slaves. Then when we start, you say, oh, embrace the white Jesus. But then you found out, hell, you didn't even want the slaves to even read. But then you let the wrong slave read, and that was Frederick Douglass. And he lit into their ass for a long time. Okay?
True.
I get it. You don't want me to say black, Negro. Guess what? We did. We used to not say, you know what we was called? Africans. Everybody was screwing back in the 1600s. There was no color anything. White folks created it. They created it here. As a matter of fact, it happened over in Portugal. Prince Henry's son, nephew wrote a manifesto about finding a way to control, to enslave. And as we try to assimilate, because assimilation is very important, we've been trying to assimilate where the slave eventually becomes the master. And we've been doing it. Okay, call it whatever you like. But people have been, you know, we didn't just end up this way. That whole racial divide and racial crap, it's been embedded and been passed down from generation to generation. And they created it. White folks created this. So if you don't want people to call yourself a black or Negro, and I just want to be a human being, that's what we wanted. We didn't want this color shit. They're the ones said we were three-fifths men. White
okay, so I have to intervene. I have to intervene
so
for a moment there because I'm gonna let you finish out because I have to say something on that. But go ahead.
But I'm just saying, I'll say this a little bit. I'm just saying you don't want to have black history. I've always felt that black history is American history because
correct.
When you open up that door, it goes to everything. That's all I gotta say.
That's right.
Okay. So with that being said, and I truly appreciate you sharing that fact, it is a fact. Fortunately, there are people who don't want the facts to be shared. Because, see, America was created on lies and a lot of stuff. America, I mean, if you look at, I'm not talking about back into just the slavery thing, because that's part of it. Because a lot of the inventions, since it's Black History Month, was created by black people that we take for advantage. I mean, we take advantage of, we appreciate it and everything, and a lot of people don't even know it. Even black folks don't even know. The things that we deal with every day was created by a black person. It was created by a black person, and their creation was stolen. Hello, white America. Because what I look at it is where when the master said, hey, this needs to be done faster, quicker, somebody black said, let me think of something that could be faster and quicker. And that's where those inventions came from. Understand my point? And the thing is that where for years and decades and decades and decades, when people say some people, not all, black folks are this and this and that, no, there's been a lot of black folks who have created stuff that you take for it, you know, credit. You just don't know the creativity of the black mind. But it's sad that we just look at 1 month out of a year. It's sad in my mind. We look at where, okay, let's go back and give black folks a month, 28 days, whether it's leap year or not, to acknowledge where, oh, yeah, you did something for, you know, for the country. These things were done for the world. Not the country, It was done for the world. That's where people miss the whole point. These creations, in fact, if you look at the whole thing as far as many people right now have home security systems. Janet, you know, we talked about this before. The individual who did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We look at, you know, a lot of things that not just black folks, but every nationality has created something. The black people don't get the respect of what we have created or what our race has created over the years that we take for granted. Many people assume or don't even know. You know, a black person actually was that smart, that intelligent, that
they don't want
individual
you to think that they're smart.
You know, and the thing is, what I'm saying is this. Again, someone said it shouldn't be every month. It should be year-round, right? But then you got individuals who don't want to go ahead and tell the truth about the lie. When I say the lie, you look at, and Janet, we talked about this before. I'll bring it up again. Oh, a major whiskey company, 150-plus years now, 150-plus years, that mash was created by a black man. And a lot of the rednecks and everything would drink the shit out of it, but they never knew that a black man created that mash. They never knew that until that company decided to tell the truth. That company decided. They didn't have to do it, but they did. Was it guilt? I don't know. But truth about America, and America needs to face what America did wrong. Face what America should say to Americans. Hey, you know what? Yes, we stole this. Yes, we lied about that. Yes, that's not true. Let's clear this up. Be honest. Be truthful. God bless America, the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her. Come on, man. You gonna tell me to sing these songs? But America, especially the politicians now that know the truth, are afraid. They're afraid. Because they say that America is definitely the melting pot. There's going to be people of from Africa, from Asia, from countries. This is America. Isn't that the promise? Isn't the promise that America made? Russia don't give that type of promise. But isn't it the promise that America made? Bring us your wounded. Bring us everything that America said. What are you doing now? Backstepping on what you said, that this is a melting pot of various cultures, Asian, black, white, everything. And now all of a sudden you want to say, we didn't mean everybody can come here. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And you got to think about it. Everybody that came from another country brought things to America that other countries come to America for. Education. Many people come from other countries to come to the school here for the education that America has, the technology that America has. If their countries have that shit, why would they leave? They come to America for their education. And some go back to their homeland to share their knowledge among their, what? Their homeland. This world is really amazing. It really is. I'm going to stop. I'm going to move on to the next topic. But I really appreciate what you guys share. That's my thought process. It just boggles my mind when I look at the shit that's going on in the world.
I didn't say anything, Michael, yet. Don't forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. Janet, the microphone.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to talk about Morgan Freeman, but I do agree with most of everything that Timon Chip said, because our bottom line is, and our main goal is, wanting to just have equal rights. And we went from fighting for freedom during the Civil War, our ancestors, our forefathers, to when they couldn't get the free labor, they created prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only, all we ever wanted was equal rights. And they don't want us to know where we are. Most people already know about their black history anyway. Nobody has to really tell us about it, you know, but there are a lot of young people out there that need to know. Parents aren't telling them. Somebody's got to tell them, you know. Because there's a lot
That's
of things
true.
That did, like you said, that did happen, and people invented different things that nobody know anything about. I remember when I was in 10th grade and they introduced Black History at Madison High in Rochester, New York. I felt like I was in a foreign land because they were talking about things I never heard before. I knew about American history, world history, but didn't know a darn thing about Black. So I felt it was important for me to teach my children a lot of things that I found.
Exactly. And the thing is, the only thing that I was coming up, I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 in March. Every time they taught me something in elementary school, which I never learned in high school or junior high, in elementary they said, you know, they said, yeah, there was a slavery thing. And they made it seem like it was okay. Really, it wasn't slavery.
Mm-hmm.
It was like what they were saying, that were like, you know, black folks were, Africans were willing to come here. You know, like they were willing to come here and work. Now, here's the crazy thing about it.
For free.
Okay, but here's the thing about it. Listening to a show earlier, you know, today, we all have, every one of us has, what? I want you to think about it. We all have the choice of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that choice is free will. We all have free will. Those slaves did not have free will.
Mm-mm.
At all. Okay? They didn't have free will. Their freedom was taken from them. Then there was an argument, or I won't say an argument, there was a discussion, what's the difference between free will and freedom. And that's a very interesting conversation. Because, see, for me, man controls domain. Man controls everything on this planet. Yes, we do. Thing is, I'm just going to say, is that where we control everything. If we want to kill an animal, a mammal, which we are mammals, yes, man is a mammal. We breathe like other mammals. Whales don't live underwater. and not come to the surface to get air. Okay? There's different species. But animals, they survive based on instincts. That's what they do. They don't sit there and think, well, I have free will to do whatever. No. Their whole thing is about survival. Us as human beings, we have a choice of how we want to survive. We have a choice. We can go rob a bank if we want to. That's your thought process. You know what? I've been working a while. And it's so funny. I see where folks on my job come and steal food. And in that sense, I'm like, you know what? They shouldn't go to jail because they're trying to, they're really in a situation. Now, when you come and steal some shit that's, you know, like a TV and shit like that, no. But if you're stealing food, I feel for you. And understand my point, and I'm going to let you guys chime in. But if you're stealing food, I feel like because you're hungry, you have gotten to that point of where I got to take a chance on at least getting something to eat. What's your thoughts about
it? They can check. They can have a chance of asking. They don't have to steal. To steal is to steal, whether it's food or TV. Ask, and it shall be given.
Okay. And you can ask, and some folks might tell you no. Okay, so let me go ahead and see what other individuals think about it. If a person is stealing food, which is not the topic that I planned on going into, but if you saw a person, if you worked at a company, stealing food compared to a electronic device, what would your thoughts be? I'm going to go ahead and let time and chime in on this one, and then Officer Crenshaw. Tommy, you there?
Hey, Mike, I'm driving. I can't, there'd be too much noise.
Okay, right, I understand that. Officer Crenshaw, go ahead. What's your thoughts on that?
I kind of feel the same way. I mean, when I was on the street, people would come in and steal chips or cookies or a candy bar or something, and, you know, they would call the police on them. I would pay for it for them. You know, so because they're hungry, I would tell the clerk, look, I'll issue them a trespass notice so they're not allowed back on the property, but let me pay for this person. Then I would take them outside, talk to them, and tell them, say, look, you're not allowed back on the property. If you come back, they're gonna have you locked up. I'm buying you this food. You know, go somewhere, eat, do whatever you got to do. Now, if they were still in liquor, you know, that's a habit.
Right.
You know, you can't survive off of liquor. You know, you just being greedy then, you know, and selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was food, if it was chips, cookies, candy, and it also depended on the age of the person. If it was a kid, you know, I would talk stern to them. If it was a young adult or an average age adult, you know, elderly, you know, like you said, we all have a choice. You got people who purposely live up under bridges that don't have to. They don't have to. One of the former Atlanta Hawks basketball players, you know, when I was working the street, he lived up under a bridge. His daughter would come get him every Thanksgiving, take him home, clean him up, feed him, and he would have her bring him back after Thanksgiving. That's just where he
Whoa. You're telling me that a former Atlanta Hawk player?
Yes. Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that I've never shared with anybody.
or on the show. I was locked up before, okay, here in Cobb County. And guess who was in the same lockup?
I knew you was in jail once.
Yeah. I don't angel. I don't angel. Shit, I've been locked up before. And the thing is that I'm very honest about myself. You know, and the thing is that it was so crazy. You remember Nick Van Exel?
Yeah.
He was a Laker.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Yeah.
His daddy. He looks just, they have the same eyes, same, everybody was saying, you know that's Nick Van Exel daddy. I'm like, oh, okay. And his dad was really cool. Yeah, I've been locked up before. I'm no angel. Well, I'm better now.
I knew it. I knew it, Janet. Watch him.
I've been locked up before.
Bro.
And thank God I went through it.
Make it plain now. Make it plain.
No, hold on. Seriously. Thank God I went through it and I learned from it. I've been locked up before. I was not an angel. But thanks to God, I'm doing what I'm doing now, right? And I have not been in no jail cell in over, what, 15
6
years,
months.
I think? Kiss my ass, man. Anyway, 15 years. Well, you all that's listening live, yes, we are Kiki and Ha-Ha in 6 months. That's funny. But the thing is that we're, you know, I used to be crazy. I used to do a lot of crazy shit. I really did. But I did meet Nick Van Exel's dad when I was locked up. Yes, I've been in jail. And never going back.
His dad was in jail?
Huh?
I said, what are you trying to say? His dad was in jail?
What do you mean, what am I trying to say?
Yeah, you keep saying you was in jail and you met his dad. Was he in jail? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, he was in jail. The thing is that when you're looking at where, at that time, so I can basically let you know, his son was a major player on the L.A. Lakers. You guys remember Nick Van Exel, right? His son was killing it on the course. Now, here's his dad is in Georgia being locked up. His son is a major player here. So it kind of makes you think, wow, you got Nick Van Exel's dad here locked up. His son is on TV almost every night playing for the Lakers. What the hell is going on with you, Dad? You know, it was just kind of like crazy in a sense because you never thought that, you know, you would meet a person that's a family member in a jail.
Of a high celebrity, you're right. Seemed like they would get him out right away.
You wouldn't think that. His son is on TV every game. And then here's the dad. I'm looking at the dad sitting here across from me. And they look identical. And I'm like, wow, that's deep. Son is doing this, that, and the other. Dad is locked up. But see, that did not become major news. It didn't. But it shouldn't have been, to be honest. It didn't make major news. Because, see, the thing is that where TV or news channels or whatever you want to call them, social media and everything,
they pick and choose what is best for what they want to share. At that time, it wasn't what we have now, okay? Let me clarify that. It wasn't like where you had, you know, YouTube and all that stuff going on the way that is going on. It wasn't where you had Facebook and all that type of stuff. Okay, so that wasn't really popular then. But it was really interesting to me is that where I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, damn, you look familiar. Come to find out, that's Nick Van Exel's dad. And Nick is killing it on the court. Dad's locked up here in Cobb County, Georgia. I have no problems with sharing. I'm going to be honest. I'm very open and honest about my background. I mean, I'm just being honest. Okay, so let me go ahead and open this mic. 909-732. Okay. I don't recognize the number, but hey, welcome to TMGS. What's your name and where you calling from?
Well, hello, Michael Gay. This is Suzette calling from California, and this is a new number.
Suzette, hello.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So the conversation, this section or the conversation is discussing free will and mm-hmm. and freedom. And they're two different things distinctly, but we tend to conflate
exactly.
them.
Right.
And so that distinction must be made that freedom has to do with externalities, you know, external things, people preventing you. Michael gave an example of getting in a boat and going to Cuba, and he made that decision to do that, which was his free will to decide to go, but it was impeded, so his freedoms were restricted or challenged him from going. But ultimately,
but Suzette,
it was his decision
on, hold
to
on
go.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Now, you mm-hmm. were on the show that I was on earlier, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And we that's where this whole conversation comes from. So mm-hmm. with no, I mean, I'm not being disrespectful towards you, but I want you to understand is that where that's another topic that
you were talking about free will. My bad.
Well, the thing is that where I have a whole list of things, and it's 7:44, and I want to go ahead and get to the other ones, but I'd love for you to come on when we kind of like go towards that, right, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
That was on
okay,
that
no
show.
Problem.
I have to go with that, but I appreciate you, you know, chiming in and you listening in on the chat room. Janet, are you there?
Yeah.
Can I just say real quick, I thought that was a perfect example and you explained it really well, and so that's why I
yeah.
used it on your show today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to do my best of being, you know, honest and open about my thoughts and opinions. Anybody can, you know, agree or disagree. But I try mm-hmm. to be very much, you know, a person that just share what I see and what I feel. Thank you. Let me see. Critical race theory. And also... the time is 7:45, so I want to try to
real
go ahead
quick,
and get
Mike,
a couple of chapters in. Go ahead, bro.
Real quick, Mike, I just want to say I think we have to show her a lot of respect because if I'm not mistaken, hey. That's Brigham Boy's wife.
Yeah.
And you were talking about
Boy.
Free will and freedom.
Right. But that's Brigham Boy, and it could be her or her husband. So I don't know
who I'm talking to
when they come in there, right? Okay, so understand that. When I see that on the board, I just see Bring It Boy. I don't know who is actually there, okay? So let's move forward because we only have a certain amount of time. I can extend the show into if we want to, but what I want to do is definitely get to the topics we were talking about. In face of the potential, excuse me, what did you say?
You got 15. Well, I said you. Never mind. You, we're going to the topics almost at the end of the show.
I have 15 minutes scheduled. I can extend, as you know, for as many minutes I want to. Okay, so
well,
what I'm going
to
do
I,
is...
I can only be on to eight.
I understand that. You told me that before. Okay, and I respect that. Okay, so let me do this. Let me read this whole thing to you guys briefly. In face of DeSantis' anti-woke rhetoric, black leaders go back to 60s, okay? Some civil rights activists raise questions about a number of DeSantis' actions. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of it.
You all right?
As protesters marched to the Florida Capitol on Wednesday, for the second rally in 3 weeks to oppose what they say is Governor Ron Santos' quote, assault, unquote, on black history, the state's battle over the future of education started to take shape as a war over the future of civil rights in America. On one side is DeSantis and the Republican-led legislator with coaching from Christopher Rofu, I think that's how you say it, of the Conservative Manhattan Institute. They vow to move the nation with a, quote, a new conservative counter-revolution, end of quote. Their goal, ending what they say is a, quote, neo-Marxist focus on, quote, wokeness, end of quote, in education, corporate America and government that it discriminates against individuals. Okay, so with that being said, Janet, I mean, I got to ask you your point of view. You know, I mean, what's the problem of having black history? You told me that DeSantis doesn't want black history being in the schools in Florida. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you read?
It's just like Tymon was saying that Michael. He's picking and choosing what he wants people to know. And so when they was introducing the leaders was the school people, I guess leaders of in the school was introducing black history. It didn't agree with what DeSantis wanted. And so all of a sudden they were changing some of the things that they and made it more like an elective instead of saying that it was something that they had to learn. So from what I saw this week on TV, a lot of the leaders, civil rights leaders, and some of the students and lawyers, and, you know, they met in Florida. They marched, and they made an announcement saying that there was three students that was going to sue, I guess, DeSantis, because he's not allowing them to learn, I guess it's AP studies or something in class. But that's not the only thing that DeSantis was doing. It's a lot of other things that he's been doing as far as not wanting people to talk about race or, you know, he's trying. I really don't understand everything that DeSantis is doing. I just know that it's not right for people to just learn what one person wants them to learn and not, you know, because he's not, we're in the United States. He's a governor. He's not a king. He should not be trying to tell people what they can and cannot do.
Yeah. Okay, so the thing is that we're, this is really a deep conversation about everything that we've been talking about. I see a secret squirrel here. Janet, you know what a secret squirrel is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what is a secret squirrel? Share to our listeners what a secret squirrel is.
When they,
I know you
disguise
know.
They disguise their number so you can't tell who it is that's calling in.
Thank you, Janet. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic and see what they have to say. 111-111-1111. I want to open up
your
mic.
Thank you for taking my call. Hold up.
Shit. See, I'm about to put your ass on mute because you didn't let me even introduce your ass. So, can you hold on? Thank you. 111-111-1111 has called in, and I thank them for chiming in. Hello, caller. What do you have to say?
Well, I'm responding or accepting.
I know it's a response, but go ahead, please.
I'm trying to respond to the question or the challenge, I don't know, in your title about why do we love to hate, and there's a backlash in front of CRT. I don't know if that's supposed to mean why do we love to hate CRT, but in any event, I'd like to tell you what I object to about CRT. I decided not to believe what anyone said about CRT because I was hearing conflicting reports. So I decided the best thing to do would be to go to the works of the progenitors of critical race theory, like Dr. Derrick Bell, Richard Delgado, and Kimberly Crenshaw, and read what they had to say about it. And so I did. And I got in my hands right now and they answer it, and I quote, "Unlike traditional civil rights discourse, which stresses incrementalism and step-by-step progress, critical race theory..."
He's fading out.
Okay, is that better? This better?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, it says, "Critical race theory questions the very foundations of the liberal order, including equality theory, legal reasoning, enlightenment rationalism, and, most importantly, I think, neutral principles of constitutional law." Now, it goes on even further, but its essential premise is that the American legal system is so hopelessly racist that racism and white supremacy is inextricably linked within the system to the point where even the objective application of law with regard to black people, even if it were theoretically possible, even if it was, would result in unfair outcomes. So to objectively apply the law to black people would be to promote institutional racism with regard to the law. What that means
Let me ask you this, sir. I'm going to let you finish. In fact, let me let you finish, and then I'll ask you a question. Finish what you were saying.
All right. I read the book through, and the ineluctable conclusion I have to come away with this, along with reading Faces at the Bottom of the Well by Dr. Derrick Bell, I read that too, is that we have to have a two-tier justice system with one method of applying the law to black people and people of color and another method of applying the law to white people and others. And I think that is a recipe for literal balkanization of the United States. The attorney of the United States or another way of turning the United States into a North American Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, sir, thank you so much for sharing that information. Truly appreciate it. Being honest, I truly appreciate that, your point of view. My thought is this, is that when it comes to CRT, critical race theory, I have to ask you something first and foremost. What is your name, if you don't mind sharing? Where are you calling from, and how old are you?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm 69 years old, and you can call me Sarge.
All right.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, thank you, Sarge. Appreciate that. You're older than I am. I'm 60 years old myself. Okay, so with what we've been seeing over the years, what I kind of wonder, when it came up with the CRT, critical race theory, what was your thought about that whole concept?
Well, here's the problem with the discussions about critical race theory as I see it. The problem is that depending upon who the speaker is and what they are trying to accomplish, they ping-pong back and forth between a literal and a subjective meaning of CRT. The literal meaning of CRT is as a legal theory promulgated in universities taught to people seeking the legal degrees. That's what it formally is, according to its own writers and progenitors. On the other hand, when people talk about critical race theory in popular discussion, they are referring to elements of critical race theory imparted and inculcated into other aspects of social discussions. And that's where it gets confusing. So, I mean, what I would like people to do is to separate, strictly speaking, about critical race theory as a legal principle and a philosophical principle, as opposed to elements of critical race theory, which you would see in things like the 1619 Project, which you definitely see in the Advanced Placement African American Studies in Florida, which Ron DeSantis objected to, which in fact, the last portion, the last 25% of that is in fact a violation of federal law because it doesn't teach history, it teaches social studies disguised as black history. Things like intersectionality,
things like transgender queer theory.
Hold on, sir.
And I appreciate that. I want to ask you some questions. You seem to be a very intelligent individual. You have a lot to share. But my whole thing is this, why would America not look at the history of black history included into the history books? Why would certain governors in certain states say, hey, look, no, that should not be in the books. We're going to remove certain books. Why would they do that? If this is America, and this is a country that has, I mean, this is a melting pot, right, where there's people from every country. It says, they said, America said, bring your wants. Okay? Now, black folks have been slaves here in America for decades. Why is it so hard for America to admit the fact that America is not perfect? America fucked up. America did a lot of shit that was wrong. America stole a lot of things from people who created things. So why is it such a problem to get the truth out there to Americans? Can you tell me that?
Sir, you're speaking to
Hold on. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just want to say just one thing. When you look at other countries that have a dictatorship that America has to work with, because we buy their products, they make our products, we buy the shit, we sell it to Americans like China, okay, Taiwan, which is part of China. we still do business with our adversaries. To me, that's amazing. How do you still do business with your adversaries? Because we're dependent on each other. That's the world. Now I'll let you go ahead and respond to what I just said.
All right. Again, this kind of is what sort of frustrates me about this discussion, as I was saying earlier. And that is, look, I'm a man who owns about 250 to 275 books on black history alone, about 2,500 books on books in general, particularly history, because I love history. It is my favorite single subject. There's nothing I love more than studying history, particularly black history. So I welcome discussions of history to include the ignoble and atrocious aspects of United States history. As long as it's accurate, as long as it's not distorted, as long as the intention of it is not to foster grievance against the modern-day United States for the sins of the past. If that is true, I don't care who gets offended. I don't care who doesn't like it. As long as it's accurate, as the existing historical record will allow it to be. The problem with much of this that I see is that it is intended to foster anger, resentment, grievance, manipulate white guilt in particular, and to create people who can hector, bully, intimidate, and cancel those who do not agree with them. And I think that is the problem with much of it.
Are you black or white?
I am a black man and been so every single day of my life.
Okay.
And
that's
I'm not
all,
proud of it because I had nothing to do with it, but I'm quite content to be a black man raised in the black cultural milieu of the United States.
Okay. All right. I appreciate you calling
in. I'm absolutely a black man, and I simply object to what I see in much of this discussion.
No, sir, I'm saying I appreciate you calling in, okay? I like hearing a point of view. I'm sure, you know, that's what I do on this show. You know, and maybe you and I will talk later on. I appreciate your point of view. I like hearing different points of view, okay? And I respect your point of view. All right. So what I did for all of you guys who are on the board, you know we normally just do 2 hours. I added 30 minutes. Janet, I know you don't do overtime, but for the folks that are here, and again, sir, what is your name?
Sarge.
I said, what is your name, or what do you want to be addressed as?
You call me Sarge.
Sarge.
Yeah, that's a nickname
okay.
I have whenever I'm calling.
Sarge is here. He's shared. Officer Crenshaw. What's your thoughts about what Sarge has shared with us?
I understand and I hear his passion in it. You know, the problem is you got people that are not black wanting to dictate what black history can be taught and how much of it. That's not right. It's not right at all. You know,
true.
I mean, I look at Ron DeSantis, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he's from Brazil. He looks like he's on steroids with his fat cheeks, you know. But how he can say what can and cannot be taught for black history, you know. But if it was his heritage, would he want someone to be able to dictate what can and cannot be taught pertaining to his heritage?
Good point. Janet, you told me about what's going on in Florida. There's lawsuits. You shared that and everything about what he's doing. You know, if you can give us more information on that. I was not aware of that, to be honest. I got a lot of shit going on. But give us more information on that, the individuals that are trying to sue him. And is it possible that they can win a lawsuit about what the governor is doing? I mean, he's the governor of Florida. Is he actually violating their rights?
I think Janet's gone, or she's kind of lingering on back a little
on the
bit.
Board. No, the thing is, no, she's still on the board. She probably puts herself on mute. She's on the board. I see who's here and who's not here.
Yeah. Well, I personally don't think he doesn't care about the lawsuits. He knows they're going to linger on. You know, he's playing politics and favorites. And that's what he's mm-hmm. looking at as far as winning people over, as far as things that he's doing. Just like when he did that thing with don't say gay, you know, or whatever it was in school, and then something with Disney Park or Disney World or Land or whatever it is down there. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's just trying to assert authority to impress people, to make people think he's got big guns when, you know, all he's got is big cheeks. So it's just going to be a matter of, and he knows the lawsuits will drag out and then get dismissed, or he'll settle. He doesn't really care about that. He's just trying to get, it's an attention thing. It's like that other crazy dude in politics that lie about everything. It's all about attention.
Can I say something?
Good point. Okay, so you guys,
I think
we normally are off the air. We're normally off the air at this time, but I just want to go ahead and get this one in real quick. Janet, she does.
Suzette
want to
say something.
Work.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Janet.
Suzette wants to say something.
Suzette, go ahead.
I just wanted to say if this is all true, then hopefully, you know, he will be removed from being governor. But I need to look into it more as far as read what's going on. I understand CRT to be not about history, but sold as it is. And so they're taking part of history as far as the slavery goes and using it against the children or against corporate companies as far as you have white privilege, you were born bias, and you can never change type thing. And that's not black history. I think it should be taught, as you guys were saying, American history, all of it, you know, from good to bad, from beginning to end, and not remove any piece of it because it's all good and bad is ours. We need to own it. And that's all. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thank you for
calling
in. Can
I respond to something you said a bit early, if you don't mind?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Well, we do understand that, school curriculum is often a political battle, so it's not surprising that a governor would weigh in on aspects of a school curriculum that they would find objectionable, no matter what side of the spectrum you find yourself in agreement with. It is a common practice for schools to censor curriculum. After all, Mein Kampf was a significant part of the history of the Third Reich, but no one would say you should teach Mein Kampf from the view of advocating for the principles laid out by Adolf Hitler. I mean, I'm not saying that critical race theory is in that same league, but you understand my point. Advocacy is one thing, teaching history is another. You can teach about the history without making advocacy. I got a copy of the African-American Advanced Placement African-American Studies Guide. I got a copy of it and I read it. 75% of it is very sound history based upon the available historical record. It's very good. 25% of it involved ethnic studies advocacy, particularly from a neo-Marxist point of view. It's indisputable if you read it. I know neo-Marxism when I read it. And I don't think that or any other type of advocacy similar to that is appropriate in a history class. That is something to be left for an ed program or something like that, not as a general curriculum on history.
Exactly. Okay, so what I want to say is this. I want to share something here. I want you guys to hear this because I had to look it up. And I already knew. But damn it, oh, come on. Phone's acting crazy, I don't know. But let's look at where the fact of that, Black History Month, if you are not speaking, please put your phone on mute, please, so we don't have to hear the phone or the trains or whatever is in your background, okay? All right, so Carter G. Woodson. Carter G. Woodson was a scholar who's dedicated to celebrating the historic contributions of the black people led to the establishment of Black History Month, making every February since 1976. Okay, so let me go ahead and clarify this here. Woodson overcame early obstacles to become a prominent historian and author of several notable books on black Americans. Born in 1875 to illiterate parents who were former slaves, Woodson's schooling was erratic. He helped out on the family farm when he was a young boy and, as a teen, worked in the coal mines of West Virginia to help support his father's meager income. Hungry for education, he was largely self-taught and had mastered common school subjects by the age of 17. Entering high school at the age of 20, Woodson completed his diploma in less than 2 years. Woodson worked as a teacher at a school principal as a school principal before obtaining a bachelor's degree in Barra College in Kentucky. After graduating from college, he became a school supervisor in the Philippines and later traveled throughout Europe and Asia. In addition to earning a master's degree from the University of Chicago, he became the second black American after W.E.B. Du Bois to obtain a Ph.D. degree from Harvard University. He joined the faculty of Howard University, eventually serving as Dean of College of Arts and Science. The thing is that where, I think I played that clip earlier, I know I did. Why it has to be a Black History Month, I think is necessary. Because, unfortunately, America, in my mind, does not respect the contributions of all nationalities, of all races. They really don't. America don't. You have these racist folks out here running around saying, go back to Africa. Go back to Mexico and everything. Do you know that the things that you use every damn day, that people use around the world, were created by not just black folks, but people of every nationality? When the master said, hey, look, get this done, or there might be consequences. I'm not saying that was definitely the case, but it probably was in many cases. These individuals came up, they got to thinking, like, oh, what the hell can I do? They create the ironing board. If you think about the fact that the freezer truck, the refrigerated truck, I should say, you drive by one every damn day, I'm pretty sure, and you don't even know it. You drive by a refrigerated truck probably every day and you don't even know it. Going to a Walmart, going to a fast food place, and a black man invented that. A black man invented that, y'all, to keep the stuff cold till it got to its location to go into a refrigerator. Oh, wait a minute. A refrigerator? Who invented that? A black man. So, I'm just saying. America got to really wake up and really look at the fact of if this is the melting pot in the world, give respect to the people who contributed to this melting pot, black, white, Hispanic. But y'all ain't giving the props to the black people who have contributed to the world, to the world. You're not. And you need to. And don't tell your kids lies. Don't tell black kids lies. Don't tell white kids lies. Don't tell Hispanic kids lies about America's history. Tell them the fucking truth. Excuse me for cussing. Tell them the truth. Because they're going to be mad at you because you lied. Believe what I say. And they're going to take it out on you. Before we go, Janet, what's your final words?
I really have no final words, Michael. I just know there's a lot when it comes to critical race theory and racism, equal rights, and it's not something that we can just cram into just a couple of hours. So maybe we can continue this next week.
No, you're right. We can't cram into a couple of hours. But, you know, in the hours that we have shared, I think we've learned a lot from the people who have shared. Okay, so let me go ahead to Officer Crenshaw. What's your final thoughts?
It's going to be a long process. You know, the world mm-hmm. has to start thinking as one, you know, I just don't understand why they're trying to take and change education. You know, they're trying to take and change, you know, sexual preference and desires. You know, I don't understand any of it. You know, it shouldn't matter, you know, what skin color you are. You know, and like I've told people many a times, you know, me coming up, you know, people were bold enough to ask me, you know, well, what color are you? And I finally got to the point and said, well, hell, if you got to know that bad, just pick one. You already made up your mind and judged me based on your likes or dislikes or whatever it was that you saw that you had to ask. So just pick a color. I'll be whatever color you want me to be because I can't change your mind. We shouldn't let anybody be able to change history.
That's a good point. I thought about that as well. When you look at, as Janet said, where there's individuals who are in politics and everything, her and I, you know, we talk a lot. They're trying to change, you know, the history. You can't change what's documented and what's definitely the past. You can't change it. There's people who are trying to, you know, sugarcoat it and this and the other. But no, again, like Janet said, and I know there is where you can Google and stuff, but even with Google, there's people who share stuff in Google and everything that is not correct. So be cautious of what you read. Be cautious what you devour as far as information to be, you know, a definite fact. Be cautious of anything that you get. Books are really the best thing. I think that if you do the research on books, start with books. I think that's the best way. Okay, so before we get out of here, I want to go ahead and give respect to everybody here. 909-327. I forgot who that was. Your mic is open. What's your final thoughts?
I think that was
909.
Hello.
Suzette. Okay, are you there? Okay, so what is your, open up your mic. Come on, Suzette. Follow me. What's your final thoughts on the whole thing?
On the whole thing, I agree with Janet. You just can't go with 15-minute increments, but it does spark the mind thought, you know, food for thought as far as I never thought about it that way, but I want to know more. And then we move on to another section. It's like, oh, nuts. But, Janet, thank you for letting me take some of your time there to talk earlier about the critical race theory. I appreciate that very much.
No problem. No problem.
And, I think that these topics were mind thought, and it left me with a lot to research this week.
Yes, I'm researching right now.
We truly appreciate you chiming in whenever you can. I know from time to time you pop up on the show. I see you on other shows, but I truly appreciate you chiming in and sharing your thoughts. And that's what it's all about, you guys. You know, just getting people's mindset. You can't hate anybody. You can't be mad at anybody for what they think. You just can't. Just listen.
Right.
Just listen, observe.
Thank you, everybody.
You could disagree, but that's the whole thing. We can all agree to disagree. 111111111. What's your final words?
Yeah, I hope I'm brief here. I'm really grateful to hear you mention a great black inventor, Frederick McKinley Jones, who had 60 patents, 40 of which dealt with refrigeration, but he did not invent the modern refrigeration cycle. That came from a gentleman named William John McQuinn Rankine. He was the first one to come up with the idea of the evaporator, a compressor, a condenser, and an expansion device. That's what enabled modern refrigeration. What McKinley Jones did was to brilliantly adapt that mechanical system to trucks so it could be used in portable refrigeration. That's what he did. My point in saying this is that America and all of its advancements and improvements were created by an infinite number of people of all races working more or less in harmony, sometimes opposed to each other. But I think we have to be as accurate as we can possibly be about the historical record. It is vital not to distort it for any ideological
purpose. And I agree with you. I agree with you. You are definitely on point. And the thing is that here's the problem I have, is that what you just said, that is a fact. But the thing is that every day I walk out my house, you know what I see? It's a refrigerated truck. I may not see it, but I know there's one by me, going past me, because every freaking grocery store depends on a refrigerated truck. Every freaking fast food restaurant depends on what? A refrigerated truck. Every restaurant depends on a refrigerated truck to get the product that they want to sell. So the reason why I said that is because this was created. And a lot of people don't even know that. It might have been done later on down the road. But this brother said, you know what? This shit got to be cold. We can't let it get hot. We got to transport it. How do I figure out how to make it refrigerated in a truck to travel from? And think about this, to travel from this state line to the other state line or whatever the case may be. But we look at things, and us now, we look at it where it's like it's not a big deal. it's like, you know, we just, I don't know. It's like, well, it's just the norm now. Unfortunately, kids look at it as a norm. But if you look at the whole thing, the process, the creation of doing this, that has done so much for us that we have to be dependent. Do you agree with me? You know what I'm saying? We got to be dependent.
I absolutely agree. We are interdependent. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what American history, including Black history, should emphasize.
If every freaking truck shut down, if this whole thing was not even created, imagine how much you would be paying for food to be fresh. But this Black man came up with the idea of having I'm sorry?
There'd be a lot of salted food if it wasn't refrigerated trucks.
It would have been salted, right, which would have been very bad for your health because everything is covered in salt. But see,
yeah,
the thing
exactly.
is that it goes back to the whole point of where critical race theory is that where the truth about the contributions that Black, you know, people have put in this country, in America. I mean, I'm 60 years old, as I said, and I never knew, I was never educated about these things when I was in school. I had to get out of school and then started reading outside the norm, you know, about true heroes, individuals who've done things. Even now, if you look at the fact that the security system was really created by a Black woman. You know that, right?
I've heard something to that effect. That she adopted. Well, in most inventions, people adopt existing technology and elaborate on it or bring it forward into another dimension. But everybody builds on something someone else has done, just like Frederick McKinley Jones did.
And you're right. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that where many people don't know, unfortunately, that the original ideal came from a person who wanted security in their home while their husband was at work. And they created this system. She created this system, her and her husband. And the thing is that we're, you know, again, unfortunately, there are people who have, we have this hatred among races and everything, and we don't understand the fact that, you know, if it wasn't for this Black person or this white person, this Hispanic person, you know, the things that you take for granted that you use every freaking day. Every freaking day you use this. And you have no clue. You know, a Black man made that. A Hispanic man made that. That's what blows my mind. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just wondering, I'm listening to everything. Is DeSantis going to try to denounce ML King Day? Because as soon as a student asks how that day came to be, he has to talk about things that he feels is going to make those kids be uncomfortable.
That's a good question. I don't know what he's going to do. I do know this, that where there's a lawsuit against him for what he's doing. And it's not really he should not do it. He's doing it for his constituents. This is Florida. And look at the history of Florida. Okay, this is a state where an individual was shot, a young man was shot and murdered, okay, by a individual who was not a police officer. He got off scot-clean. You know what I'm talking about. And this same individual, okay, was arrested for this and that and the other and continued doing shit he shouldn't be doing. But,
right.
But he took the life, okay? Let's be realistic here. He took the life of a young man, and he managed to not be put behind bars. This is Florida. I'm sure at some point he's going to probably run for president. I think he's already – no, he hasn't announced it. But I think at some point he wants to be the power. But these individuals in Florida need to be careful. These residents, I should say, of Florida, of this governor. You know, it's going to be something that I think is going to take a couple of years to understand when it comes down to the elections and this and the other. I think that that's what's going to show. If he announced himself being a candidate for president, I truly believe he will not win. I truly think he won't. Let's see. Anybody else have any final comments before we get out of here?
Well, I would like to respond to what we said about regard to George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin, because
mm-hmm.
I'm a retired police officer, all right?
I know a lot of. In fact, you're talking to a police officer when I respond
good.
To Officer Kirk. Okay, so you're talking to a 20 year plus veteran of
very good
officer
23 years
himself.
For me.
So if you are an officer, then let you share what you have to say to my co-host, Officer Crenshaw. Go ahead, sir.
All right. And as I'm sure you know, the Florida case had nothing whatsoever to do with Stand Your Ground. That wasn't even invoked by the defense at the trial. It was literally a self-defense case. And I studied that case backwards and forwards. I got the court transcripts. I read everything thoroughly as I could. Testimony of the witnesses, the defense exhibits, everything. Everything I get my hands on to try to understand this case. Trayvon Martin's background, the phone records he had with the alleged witness who turned out not to be the actual witness. Benjamin Crump actually substituted a counterfeit witness to obtain a grand jury indictment against Zimmerman. But after reading all of this evidence, the only conclusion I could come to based upon the evidence submitted at the trial was that he was not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. The evidence was overwhelmingly conclusive that he had every right to defend himself with deadly force against Trayvon Martin's attack.
Okay. Hold on. I got to put you on hold because I'm going to let Officer Crenshaw respond to that, and then I'm going to tell you what the fuck I think. Crenshaw, what do you think about what he just said?
Well, I mean, based on what he said and what I know about it, he's correct from what the evidence that they had and the way that things went. So I thought you were talking about initially the other case to where the guy shot the kid in the car for the loud music.
No. He went back. I was talking about Florida. Okay, so let me tell you something, my friend. Here's the problem I have. Trayvon Martin was murdered. Trayvon Martin was not an issue for the individual, which I don't even want to say his name, because he was not a threat to him. Trayvon was coming from a store, from buying something. Zimmerman felt like Trayvon was a, he felt that way. He called the police department. Here's the killer part. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but here's the killer part. The 911 operator told him, do not engage. See, that's not the part that you guys did not – well, that is the part you did not catch. Do not engage with the suspect. They were going to send an officer out. See, Trayvon did not approach him. Trayvon did not threaten him. Zimmerman felt like he was a fucking cop. You correct me if I'm wrong, because I know I'm not. He was told, do not engage. But he chose to do so. So what you're telling me, in my opinion, is bullshit. He should have followed what the police... Hold on. He should have followed what officers told him. The 911 operator, which I know many of them. They're friends of mine. I grew up with a lot of them. I've had them on my show. Okay? And they told me, no, we tell folks, do not engage with whatever you think that person's doing. Do not approach them. Do not engage. Zimmerman did not do what the officer, the 911 officer. The 911 officer is not just a person who answers calls. They're a legal police officer. Did you know that? So when you get a directive from a police officer, you're supposed to follow it. Zimmerman did not do that. He approached him. He shot and killed him. That young man did not know if he was a police officer or not. He just felt like, here's this guy coming at me, saying he's whatever. So regardless, I'm going to let you go ahead and try to tell me what you think is right about it. But to this day, no, it's wrong in my mind. That man should not have
ever. We understand what you're saying, Mike. We understand what you're saying. We're just saying when they put it all together on paperwork for court, what could be presented in court? We understand what you're saying based on the fact that we've had experience on the street.
I understand how court works, but I do understand the fact that when you look at what's going on even now, you can go back to Trayvon Martin's murder, which I consider a murder. That individual was told not to approach him. And he did it anyway. So you can't make no excuses for the directive. No, hold on. That was a directive. That was a direct thing. When an officer says, don't do this and that and the other, this was a 911 operator who told him, do not do it. But he did it anyway. And the man is dead. Come on, y'all. Common sense tells you this.
Actually, I'm looking right now at the transcript. Dispatcher asked George Zimmerman this question. He's running. Which way is he running? Zimmerman. Down towards the other entrance to the neighborhood. Dispatcher, which entrance is that?
Why is he running? Why is he running?
You need to hear it now. It'll answer your question.
Go ahead.
It's only a couple more sentences. All right, again, he says, he's running. Which way is he running? Zimmerman, down towards the other entrance of the neighborhood. Dispatcher, which entrance is that he's headed towards? Zimmerman, the back entrance. Fucking punks. These assholes, they always get away. Dispatcher, are you following him? Zimmerman, yeah. Dispatcher, okay, we don't need you to do that. Zimmerman, okay. All right, sir, what is your name? George, he ran. Then he goes on and tells the dispatcher, dispatcher asks him, all right, George, we do have them on the way, them as the police officers. Do you want to meet with the officer when they get out there? Zimmerman, yeah. Dispatcher, all right, where are you going to meet with them at? Zimmerman, if they come in through the gate, tell them to go straight past the clubhouse and make a left. And then they go past the mailboxes. That's my truck. Dispatcher, what address are you parked up? He had a cell phone.
I'm sorry.
He left the confrontation and walked away from it.
Okay, so let me say this. I'm not trying to be rude. I know I've heard that whole thing. I've watched the trial. Regardless of what you read, that young man was murdered, okay? He's murdered. Zimmerman was told, do not pursue the suspect. And what was he a suspect of? Did he break in somebody's apartment? Did he break into a store? What was his, I mean, you know, why did this even start? This is, Zimmerman was a guy who wanted to be a cop. And look at the shit he did after that, if we want to be honest and look at all the shit he got in trouble with past that. But that was wrong. Zimmerman got off for murdering a young man who went to a store. Zimmerman assumed he was a thug. He assumed, he made an assumption that he was a thug, which many black individual young men are assumed to be in today's society and even then. And that's where the whole thing about the hoodie came about. Oh, he's trying to hide his identity, blah, 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 whatever. Trayvon Martin was murdered. I don't care what you say. I'm going to open your mind, and then we're going to go ahead and close the show. But the reality is that Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman, and George Zimmerman got off for murder. Because I've seen the videos. I've looked at them over and over again. That kid did not commit a fucking crime whatsoever. When George Zimmerman approached him and they got into an altercation, it was George Zimmerman who started that altercation. And Trayvon was trying to defend himself. He didn't know who the fuck he was. George Zimmerman did not have on a police uniform, by the way. He's just an everyday dude trying to be security. Okay? Let's look at the truth of it. Then George Zimmerman got off for murder.
Well, George Zimmerman had been trained by the Sanford Police Department as a neighborhood watch captain. There had been a rash of burglaries in his neighborhood, one of which
does
he
have
had
a badge?
Hold on.
My question is this. Does he have a badge, Officer Crenshaw, being trained by the neighborhood watch? Does that make you a police officer? I think not.
Well, I didn't say he was a police officer. He had been trained to report things that he believed were suspicious in accordance with his training.
And he did. No, hold on, sir. He did make the report. But what did the 911 caller tell him?
And he cooperated with him because, according to
See, this is why I have to put folks on mute, because you're not thinking about what you just said. If you know so much about the case, and I know, the officer, the 911 caller told him, do not pursue the individual. Just let us know where he's at. Officer Crenshaw, am I right or wrong? Crenshaw probably slipped away. All right, so, you know, we got to go ahead and wrap up this show. I really appreciate my co-host, Janet Davis, Officer Crenshaw, Time and Ship, and all the callers who called in this evening. we're going to keep this conversation going as usual. We do have some great guests that come in. And for you guys, for the first time that's tuning in to the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, the Michael Gay Show, we are that variety show. We talk about a lot of stuff. And I truly appreciate you chiming in. My caller from the 111 number, hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Your mic is open. But I truly appreciate your point of view.
Oh, I enjoyed very much the interlocution, and I look forward to more such stimulating dialogues. I like to be challenged. I like to offer a challenge, and I think that's the best way to get to the truth about anything.
Okay, 205-478. I see you've been on the board. You haven't hit the number one. You know, in order for you to chime into the show, you have to hit the number one so I can open up your mic. So what's your thoughts about the conversation? Go ahead and hit the number one if you want to and share your thoughts. If not, okay, we'll see you next week. All right, you guys, we're going to get on out of here. Wow, what a day today for me, to be honest. Been interesting. Been very interesting with the show, the board acting crazy. And I don't know why. Right now, as I'm speaking with you, I'm trying to go ahead and pull up our closeout theme. And the board is acting crazy again. How come I can't get this on here? All right, I'm going to get it right, you guys. Hey, look,
O-H-S.
Make sure you tune every Saturday.
OHS, military term for yeah. Operator Headspace.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what's going on with my board here, but I'll get it taken care of before next Saturday. Again, want to thank you guys for tuning in. Hey, look, we got some great guests coming up. I just had a great conversation with, in fact, Officer Crenshaw. You remember what's that artist's name? Oh, this brother has some of the best music, and he just released a new single. Ellison Kendrick is going to join us next Saturday, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and send you guys his video and check out his, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. You know, I'm very thankful to have these great individuals, these great new artists who's been doing this thing, been on the grind to get their music out there. And I want you guys to check it out and put it into your, you know, share it with folks, put it into your music libraries. You guys know Ellison, right? So support
yeah.
these great artists. And it's going to be fantastic. Trust me. All right. So with that being said, we're going to get out of here, you guys. I'm still trying to get the last track up here. I don't know why I'm having so much problems here on the board. Seriously.
You went a little extra over, so it might have kicked you out.
No, it's not kicking me out. I pay for this extra time. I pay for 3 hours. So, and I haven't even got to the 3 hour mark. So that should not be the problem. So let me
Michael?
Do this. Here we go. Go ahead.
If I may just say something to your point as far as your discussion there with Sarge, and juries don't know that they have this power to actually change the law without changing the law. Yes, they had to convict mm-hmm. according to the letter of the law. So according to the letter of the law, George Zimmerman was innocent. But you have a very good point. You have two people mm-hmm. dressed in regular plain clothing. Zimmerman could not identify himself by saying, "Stop, police." So, you know, what was he going to say? Right. Stop, Zimmerman, you know. And so you have this kid who, you know, has this guy following him throughout the park or throughout the apartment complex, doesn't know him from Adam, you know, and he's like, holy crap, you know, what does this guy want? And then you got Zimmerman going, holy crap, what's this kid doing in here in this apartment complex? Never seen him before. And so, you know, as far as the murder aspect, that aspect could have actually been considered because Zimmerman did pursue him. But to your point again, you know, the self-identification thing was crucial. You have two people chasing each other
right.
or following each other and not knowing each other from Adam. You know, these days it's like anybody, you know, I would have reached for, you know, inside my purse and somebody would have bought a bullet.
Well, the thing is that what I'm saying is that where you're talking about an apartment complex, people, mm-hmm. if you look at an apartment complex that might have 100-plus people that live there, they have friends that mm-hmm. come and visit. So can you say that
right.
I know everyone who lives here? But do you know every visitor that comes there? Right?
Exactly.
You can't do that. It's an apartment complex. So people who live there, if there's 100 folks, as I said, out of 100 people that live in that complex, let's say two friends of 100 come to visit. That's 200 individuals you probably don't even know. So how can
yep.
you say
and it's none of their business.
Feel like, yeah, right. It's you know, and as long as you're not seeing a person breaking into a car, this and other, but just because you see a person you don't recognize, you feel like they're committing a crime. I'll tell you guys a story real quick. I have 7 minutes left. I lived in a neighborhood where down the road about 6 blocks away was a drug area. On my street, it was elderly folks. There was an intersecting street called Ramona Drive that met my street. There were some guys there that ordered a pizza. And the pizza man delivered. I said, wow, I need to order one myself. I called for a pizza and they said, we don't deliver at that address. I'm like, well, wait a minute. The neighbor right across the street got one. How come I can't get one? Seriously. That cutoff point was right there. I'm like, what the this don't make no sense. So I got the number to Domino's. That was a pizza place or major. And I said, hey, look, this don't make any sense. Anything. Do you know the regional manager came to my house? We sat and talked about it. He showed me the demographics of the crime area. I said, well, you know, there probably is a problem of where your drivers are going into that area that you don't want. But there's folks that live on this street and other streets. And we had that conversation set on my front porch and talked about it. And believe it or not, honest to God truth, he said, well, let me take a look at the demographics again. I told him, I said, look, there's an apartment complex up here where, yeah, when you have a larger a group of individuals, you probably have that type of issues. But the people who live here, especially the elderly and older folks, you're talking about blocks away in a certain area, but you delivered at a street, at a house right across the street from me. I said, I have a problem with that. They came down the street throwing out cups with coupons a week later. Coupons. Buy one, get one free, all that type of crap. And everything. See, that's how I operate. Where, you know, look at the fact that don't think that everybody is a criminal. Make adjustments to keep your customers, right? Make adjustments. They stopped driving down the streets where the drug dealers were or the neighborhoods. Make adjustments. You want to make money, people want your product. And they did it. All right, with that being said, we got to go, you guys. Next Saturday, hey, look, I'm trying to look at what my schedule is. Oh, I'm sorry. I do have a guest coming on. I try to bring on a special guest as much as I can. I do have a special guest that's coming on next Saturday. Please tune in. You will see it on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. If you're not a friend of the network, please do. Be a friend. You can go ahead and of course, hold on a minute. I'm trying to read something. I'm sorry. But please, you know, be a friend on the network. All right. Thank you, guys. I love you. God bless. See you next Saturday. Peace.
Good night, everybody.